Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for July 18th, 2019. Amazing to think that we are in July. I hope everyone's enjoying their summer. This will probably be a fairly quick call because there's no big changes. The first thing we do want to mention is we may have hit our summer rally peak for the spider as we now have a daily stochastic sell signal. But we're really not looking for a giant correction here. Oddly enough, the market technicals simply don't look terrible here. We'd like to see the daily stochastic on the S&P recycle completely. We notice that some of the other stochastics that have given us rallies, like the small cap on IJR, are down in the low 20s. Those may go below and recycle. And again, for those of us who are watching small cap and the transports, those are still, you know, they're a condition indicator. They're negative, saying we're going to get a steeper correction sometime. But the breadth indicators look fine right now. New highs, new lows is actually starting to move out of the consolidation pattern it's been in. So overall, you know, we're looking at the possibility of 270 to 280 or so. It may actually stop at 285 or so instead on the spider. What we've done is we've advocated trimming positions to people we've talked to directly. You know, trimming some positions that you've got big gains in and you're not real confident in. An ideal example is BX, Blackstone, which we took out of the sector review and substituted with something else. But this is not a wholesale, golly, we've got to dump stuff and be real, real concerned signal here as of yet. We don't think we're going to see that. So that's basically where we are with the stock market. So far, by the way, we've had some questions about our long-term trend system. We are still in a Desmond. We'll write about that this week, this weekend for everybody. But basically, things look pretty neutral. They're still, and so we've got to stay with what we have and where we are. Let's talk a little bit about the bond market. TLT may have had a rally failure. We'll have to see. It has come down. The daily stochastic is positive. We are watching very carefully on this signal. If TLT does not make a new high for the move on this daily stochastic buy signal, there's a good chance that the advance in bonds is over. But again, the accumulation model is saying that this should come back down into the 124, 126 area and not be a complete collapse as of yet. We saw an article that said a lot of money was going into high yield, HYG. That is down but is not completely recycled. We would watch HYG. Any break of 86 would target 84 and be another signal that some of this summer rally stuff is finally coming to an end. You know, we were looking for the third to fourth week in January, and we've basically arrived there, and we're starting to get some sell signals. So traders should be selling some stuff here. Investors, you know, keep what cash you have and see if we can get some prices a little lower. Let's take a quick look at international. We had a conference call with a client who was very interested in that. EEM has held 40. It looks like a base. It looks like that's going to actually be something that does reasonably well here over time, but, you know, we still don't have huge impetus to rush into that. And remember, we are going to be using PXH when we make that change and not EEM. PXH has a little bit more potential. In terms of the dollar, very quietly, and we noted this, I think, in the midweek, the dollar is very close to a breakout above 26.70 or so on the spider, sitting at, on the UUP, sitting at 26.31. If this breaks out, we will see some turmoil in the commodity markets. You know, that sort of leads to a comment on gold and oil. GLD is at the top end of a base. It's holding on better than we thought, but the accumulation model is still a little bit weak. We've been asked about oil stocks. Unless you're an investor, we would probably not be in those. XLE has peaked below where we thought it would peak. And it looks like we could see that start to challenge the lows. USO is weak again. And one of the things that we look at in these markets is, especially in the oil market, reaction to news. Certainly the Iranian difficulties and such did not produce a big spike in oil, and that's something that suggests we've got still some downside pressure in there. So be very careful on oil stocks if you're in them. We would take what profits we have as traders and start to run for the hills. With that, I think I'm going to pass the call over to Jeff. There's just not that much. So, Jeff Garbaz, do you have anything for us?
Hey, Fred. Hey, first, let's just take a look at the stock du jour today, Netflix. And I want to give everyone thoughts on that name since it's part of the FANG.
Yeah, golly, that's down a lot. It still is kind of in support, though. 300 to 325 is support, so it's challenging that. And what we would do is watch that and see if the daily stochastic can recycle, Jeff. We don't see – usually with these big drops, there's no urgent need to buy the name right away, right? It's going to sort of bounce around in here, sort of like Google did for a while on its bad earnings. So I'd say between here and 300, if it can get to 300 and get a daily recycle going, we would probably want to play that at that
okay.
time.
So next question for you is, as a comment and then a question, silver has been outperforming gold. Does that mean we're more than likely in the late stages of gold?
It does. It certainly argues for a pullback in gold. Silver's been weak. I've seen a lot of stuff on the gold-silver ratio, which is, of course, a fundamental measurement. Jeff, basically our indicators suggest you don't want a big position in gold. And I did see an article this morning, big hedge fund manager finally suggests that gold could be, a paradigm shift here. And, of course, if he was writing that back at 115, on GLD, I'd be a little more interested in the paradigm shift. So, yeah, I'm a seller of gold here for traders, certainly. And for investors, I would be thinking a lot about, trying to buy it lower, say around, let's see, where would a good place on GLD be? 124, 125 would be great. If I could get it there, I'd consider adding the positions again.
Okay. Yeah, that hedge fund manager, that for everyone who doesn't know, that was Ray Dalio. Fred, and he runs one of the bigger hedge funds in the world, and he's definitely done pretty well over time. So I saw that comment as well. I thought that was good.
But what's interesting, people tend to think, Jeff, I mean, he's a big manager. For him, accumulating gold over 3 months and then having it make a move is, would be satisfactory. And I don't think if he's looking for a real move that a move back to 124 or 125 would mean all that much to him on GLD. You have to take the size of these guys with a grain of salt, and he may be right, but it sure looks like it's going to pull back now to me.
Okay, great. Hey, thoughts on semiconductors here, SMH?
They still look like they're short term and intermediate term up a little while longer, say to 125 on SMH.
Is the best chart to play, which resembles SMH, is Intel, which has kind of struggled, but it's got a similar chart pattern in the last couple of months where it's been, kind of slowly upward from the May sell-off.
That one has been the semi that I've usually played successfully. So, yeah, I would say you could get Intel to 53, 54. And then we have to watch.
And then I had a question on a couple of software names that we did not cover. MDB, thoughts on that one?
Okay. I want to look at the longer term. This was a big, Motley Fool stock for a while. It's fine, Jeff. It is overbought. You're starting to see some weekly sell indications there, but as long as it holds 125, it's probably okay.
And what about SAP?
That doesn't look so great, but it looks like it's going to hold 120 to 122. That looks like you could get a weekly stochastic recycle out of it, but it may be a time and not a price pull down. In other words, this whole area, it's an interesting chart on the daily, Jeff, because it is an island reversal on the top. But if it fills that gap around 120, and again, Jeff, I'm using the high end of the chart before the gap, not the actual gap, which looks like it goes down to 115. If it can hold 120, it's probably filled that gap, and we would buy when the daily turns up. But for now, that's one you want to sort of just let fluctuate, I think.
So IWM failed 155 again. Thoughts on that? And if we are going to, you know, pull back on the S&P, I presume you're expecting a bigger pullback on the Russell.
I'm actually expecting less of a pullback and then the Russell to do better in the second half. And what I would also say, Jeff, is a lesser pullback would be the same percentage as the S&P, since normally this would pull back double the S&P. As long as this can hold reasonably close to the June low at, say, 150, that would be interesting. Otherwise, this should take out the December low. And by the way, the December low, or sorry, no, the June low at 145.
Like 145?
Yeah. Sorry, I thought I was
Which would take us back into kind of January, the big gain that we had from January. So we would give up basically January onward for the year.
Yeah. By the way, Jeff, we had one of the classic sell signals that we get on the market just recently. Okay, this has worked every time. When you see articles talking about how we're going to have a melt-up, you should sell your trading positions. Have you noticed that?
Where did you see a melt-up article?
MarketWatch. They're the ones that have these dorky articles. And yeah, but when you see, oh, my God, we're going to have a melt-up, that usually is a sign that the market's getting ready to puke short-term.
So IYT had a really bad day yesterday, and that was basically because of CSX. So can you comment on CSX first, and then second, look at, I mean, some of the other rail stocks got hit as well, because the presumption is that if CSX was weak, then these other guys are going to be weak. So can you look at KSU and also CNI?
Yeah. Let's see. You know, when I look at, first of all, CSX, it's basically come down into support. If it holds this area and you get a weekly recycle, that wouldn't be bad. UNP, which is Union Pacific, that actually really held support. That's one we like, and it's in the sector review. And then KSU, which is Kansas State University, as I used to remember it, that also looks much better as well. That should hold 110, and I wouldn't mind buying either KSU or UNP here, Jeff.
And last one is CNI.
CNI. That looks even better.
So on the other side of transports are the airlines. And just quickly, United came out with earnings. They were good. So thoughts on that chart?
That's a fine. That actually looks pretty decent on the weekly, but it's in resistance. I'd give it a chance to pull back again, but this is one I certainly wouldn't mind owning. Some of my clients own Delta, which is also right up against resistance. But these are trading, airlines are all trading pretty well.
Okay, perfect. Okay, that's it for me today.
Sure. Jeff, so let's take a quick look just so we're looking. FedEx is a bottom. Looks like it's trying to make a bottom, and UPS, which is a local company here and has done, you know, everyone loves them here anyway, but the stock hasn't done well. As long as that holds 90, it's probably in a buyable area as well. Okay, with that, let us open the call to questions. Please remember to hit star 6 to unmute your phone if you have questions. I know a lot of people are away, so this is going to hopefully be a shorter call. Questions? Well, it looks like we may not have any questions today, huh, Jeff? Here's someone trying
Hey,
to
Fred.
come in. Hey there, is that Scott?
It is.
Scott,
The
how are
star
you?
six wasn't working for me, but couple quick ones, if you would. Waste management, WM. Would you? Where would you buy it?
Let me look at the daily because that's a very nice chart. If you could get a pullback to 111 to 114, I would buy it. And Scott, if the market pulls back here and this just sits around here, I would buy it as well.
Okay.
Maybe 115 by tomorrow because it's expiration.
Okay. Another name I'm looking at, Generac. GNRC.
GNRC. Oh, Fred, come on, type. GNRC. He wanted to put an M in. That your daily may recycle. If you could get that at 66 or so, that would be groovy.
Okay. Dexcom, DXCM.
Dexcom, DXCM. Scott, I'd go ahead and buy that right here. It's held support, and it doesn't look like it's coming down a whole lot.
Okay. Iron Mountain, IRM. This was downgraded by Merrill, apparently.
Oh, good. And it's fallen enough that that probably is a buy. Look at starting to get some here, and then let's see if this can come down on a correction to maybe 28. You could add to it there, but it may not do that. That's why I'm saying you should probably pick some up here.
Okey-doke. I missed the beginning, so I'll just do the replay and catch up on the other stuff.
Yeah, or, and
Thanks.
if you have any questions, Scott, call.
Will do. Thanks, buddy.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Nancy.
Quick question.
Shirley.
will you look at XSLV? It's chock full of REITs and utilities.
Yeah,
It's
I
not what you
that
think
one
it is.
has traded very well. And
Okay.
I think it looks better than IJR. I would I'm happy with that. You know, try to buy it at 45 if you can, but you might not be able to.
Thank you.
And I would hold that if I had it. I'm quite happy with that one.
Okay.
Yeah,
No,
and it.
I have a lot of it, and I just, the utility, it's just the way it rebalances, it tends to have some very, very big overweights that if all of a sudden the REITs and utilities fall apart, it's going to underperform for 4 or 5 months.
Right. I have been watching the REIT indexes, the XLRE, the IYR, and even KBWY, and there is nothing here that says to me that these could have trouble. One of the problems with these is that American Tower, AMT, is a big position, and that is on the new weekly sell signal. But it's also in a consolidation making higher lows. So even the REIT indexes look a good bit better to me.
It's a corollary. Will you look at DLR, Dog Larry Robert?
And that again, I mean, it's certainly not a huge breakout, but it's trading really well. And as long as it can stay above 108, say you're in fine shape, and that weekly stochastic could come down based on time and get another weekly buy signal.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Hey Fred, it's Bob in Atlanta. Would you take a look at LQD?
Yeah, I want to sell that here. It's right up at
Okay.
resistance. Now, Bob, there's a gap to the downside, and you've got a daily stochastic buy signal. if it doesn't make a new high on this daily stochastic buy signal and then takes out the low that it just made, that's your sign that there's going to be some problems in here.
Okay, thanks.
And as a trader, Bob, I mean, one of the things I'm trying to assess is what if the Fed either doesn't lower interest rates here at the end of the month or lowers them 25 basis points and says we're not going to lower them anymore unless economic conditions warrant, the economy looks stronger. Will that hurt these bonds? That's a really good question. And my answer to the question is, the only way I can get that answer is, we're overextended and starting to get weekly stochastic sell signals. So my guess is LQD, TLT, all of these will start to pull back on that, you know, on news of that nature, on whatever the Fed does. Okay. Now, will they pull back dramatically and go back to the November, December lows? Probably not. But would they pull back, say, from 131 on TLT to 124 or on LQD? Would they pull back to, say, 119 to 120 and possibly as low as 116? They could. So I'd just be prepared for that. Other questions?
Hey, Fred. Brian in Southlake, how are you?
Fine. How are you, Brian?
Doing well. Hey, some of our people at Morgan were talking the other day about the Alerian Midstream Index being above the 200-day moving average for like the first time in, 200 years, and had broken a five-year downtrend. So kind of just asking a general question about the midstream stocks in general, but to give you a name to look at, maybe EPD,
sure,
for example.
EPD certainly looks fine. Let me take a look at the longer-term chart. Yeah, these are long-term bases. These are also MLPs and stuff, right, or in that whole group.
Yes.
I'm looking. I'll write about MLPA this weekend and some of those. I think all of these have bottomed. Okay, you're starting to see signs on the indicators, and they've held really good support areas for a long period of time. The question I have is whether they're going to put on a big move to the upside here. And I'm not sure that's the answer, but are these a reasonable thing to buy for income and possible appreciation a couple of years down the road? I think, yes, that would be a risk that I would start to take.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Good to hear your voice. It was great seeing you at PMI, by the way.
Likewise.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, this is BJ calling from Alpharetta.
Hey, BJ, how are you?
Good. So on an ETF called MDIV, Mike David India Victor, getting tired of looking at that. I think they have quite a few REITs, also some MLPs and stuff in that, some high yield. What do you think of that chart?
You know, it's very similar. It looks an awful lot, honestly, like MLPA. It looks like it probably has more MLPs than anything else in it. It looks to me like a bottom, and it looks like a base. And, BJ, I've come up with all sorts of ways to try to figure out when you're going to start to move out of a base. And the fact is, none of them work more than, say, 60% of the time. And so this is going to stay in this base. If you see this above 21, it looks pretty good. If you see this, frankly, above, let's say, you see it above 1950, it looks like it's going to start to go. BJ, I'd hold it if you need the income, but it's probably, you know, it just may not do much for a while.
Okay. All right, good. Thanks.
Sure. And, you know, one thing to remember, by the way, on these MLPs that I think I was about to say that I forgot. The fact is I just haven't thought of this in a long, long time. When you look at the MLP charts, You know, these have basically been down and down hard since really 2014, 2015, right? It's going to take a period of basing to recover that. It's sort of like when QQQ came down. You know, it based for a long, long time. So it wouldn't surprise me to see these stay in basis for a while, but at the same time, it looks like the bottoms are going to hold. Okay? Other questions?
Hey, Fred. Scott again.
Yes, sir.
I'll also add on to what you were just talking about with the I've been an MLP guy since the 80s and, you know, have lived the dream and the nightmare, obviously.
Right. Yeah,
all
very
along.
Well put.
And
yeah.
But right now I've been I love them, continue to hold them, but as a little bit more conservative angle, there are some very attractive fixed to float preferreds in some of these names like Energy Transfer, where you have a very high coupon call fixed out until, you know, 27 or 23, different types of, but then they float, you know, 400 or so over LIBOR. So if they
right.
aren't called at that date, you know, it's decent play. Not a
That's
lot
a
of
very
rising
good idea, Scott.
So just for what it's worth.
Yeah, no, people should be looking at those. And you know what's interesting, Scott? If you look at VRP, Victor Robert Paul, that has actually started to recover and do pretty well after being quiescent, is a nice way of saying it hasn't done anything for a while. That's starting to trade pretty well. And we're still looking at the whole preferreds area as a way to get income exposure rather than bonds.
And if you're interested in any specific CUSIPs, feel free to call me.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Other questions? That was a very good observation. Thank you, Scott. Other questions? Very well. Going once. Going twice. Going three
times.
Hey, Fred,
Jeff.
Jeff, yeah.
DWSH, take a look at it. Remember, this is the short ETF. Based on kind of laggards, and looks like it's starting to work again.
Yeah, Jeff, I think if we get a market correction, this is a rounding bottom, and this could easily make it to 26, 27 in the context of that correction. And we
okay.
should get a pullback here. We're a little bit overextended. We're at the end of the favorable summer period. The real question is this going to be a big correction or not? And most of the underlying internals suggest it's not going to be a big correction. But, yeah, anyone who can play this, and most of the people on the call we realize cannot, but anyone who can might want to try trading this.
What's interesting is compared against HDGE, which, I mean, Hedge is just, in theory, they're doing the same thing, but clearly they aren't because DWSH is acting a lot better.
Yeah. No, it is. The charts are like night and day.
Yeah, kind of crazy. So, okay,
hey,
that was it.
Jeff, what this
yep.
does, it shorts 100 stocks 100% of the time based on Dorsey Wright's weak relative strength.
Oh, I know. I'm
okay.
well aware.
Okay, didn't know. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think HDGE uses futures, right, Jeff?
It's a stock product, too. It's a stock-driven process. It's just one really seems to work in down periods where the other can work, but not with the same results.
Right, okay.
Michael
Levy. Michael? No, he's gone. Okay. Well,
actually, I think it was Scott trying to make a comment.
Scott,
no,
was
I
that you?
Yeah.
I was just going to say HDGE. My understanding is, unfortunately, that's the only one that's approved at my firm, but it's a small cap portfolio of these guys who are supposedly doing small cap forensic accounting. And right. that's what they base this list off. And whether they have success or not, I wish I want to be buying the one Jeff's talking about, but I think they need $40 million in assets before we can do it, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it.
Okay. Any other questions?
A caution on DWSH.
Yeah, hey Fred, one other quick question for you.
Wait, we just had Alan
talk a little bit
a
about healthcare, XLV.
Hang on, Alan, you next. XLV, I'm dead neutral on it.
And there is a momentum ETF from Dorsey Wright, because they do a bunch of sector ETFs as well, PTH. How does that look? Because it looks to me like that may be starting to peter out a little bit here.
Yeah. Jeff, healthcare just looks, I mean, even some of the basic stocks look problematic here. Alan, you had a caution on DWSH?
I do. You got to watch your trading volume on that closely.
Right. Yeah, and again, fortunately, that's going to pick up, I think, as this gains in popularity. But, Alan, sadly, not a huge amount of people. Can you use DWSH at UBS?
You have to get exception.
Yeah, I think you have to get an exception. Yeah, I'll never forget the exception form number at Merrill Lynch was 666. I used to just get a huge kick out of that. They obviously were trying to make those exceptions as attractive as possible. It wasn't 666, it was 66, but you kind of added that on. So
I remember it.
Yeah. Other questions? Very well. Going once? Going twice? This will end the Fred Report technical market call for July 18, 2019. Everybody enjoy the last few weeks of summer here. I can tell a lot of people are away, and we're taking it easy here ourselves. So thank you, and have a great week. Bye now.